The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
My next guest grew up immersed in writing, her late mother being Caroline Walsh, who worked as the literary editor of the Irish Times for many years, a cousin to novelist Kathleen McMahon, the granddaughter of writer Mary Lavin. However, for her, working in the creative and literary industry was not a foregone conclusion. Originally heading for a career in economics and finance, nature gave nurture a hiding, and so she has just produced her debut novel entitled There's Been a Little Incident. Alice Ryan, good morning and welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So nature triumphed in the end.
It really, I know, it sounds, now it just feels like, it sounds like it was really, it was always going that way. But it very much wasn't for me. I really, I happened to have a really wonderful economics teacher at school, Mr. Culton. And I found English like, it was unpredictable. You know, I could score really high in economics. You get 100%. And you couldn't get that in English. Why would you bother with that?
Okay, so you were a points counter.
I sure was, unfortunately, yeah.
Now, you know, being in a household full of books, which you must have been, all the books that would have to be reviewed, did you devour the classics? Did you devour the latest from whoever it might be coming into your house?
I really didn't. I mean, I think there was a period, probably in my late teens, where I don't think I read at all. But I do remember my dad gave me a book by Susan Minot, Monkeys. And I think it was the first time, I remember there's a scene in it where the dad is drinking and they're all trying to get him to stop drinking, and they go on this wonderful picnic, and you just hear the can open, and you know he's had a can of beer. Yeah, exactly. And I think so a shout out to my dad. I think that was a moment where I thought, oh, this doesn't have to be this kind of serious thing. It can actually be this world that you can have for yourself.
Now, as a teenager, often you don't really think too much about your antecedents and all the rest of it. But did you have a consciousness of the literary background?
Oh, yeah, it's a great point. I really didn't. And I'm sure, look, as you said it yourself, like teenagers, you're very focused on what you're going to wear that Saturday night to the disco. Like it's crucial, you know.
And, but were there not literary figures popping in?
Oh, there were. Yeah, there were. Well, I have a strange correlation in my mind because when my parents would have big dinner parties, we'd be allowed to go to Chew and Chat Pizza in Ranelagh. John Banville, Conto, I mean, in my mind, I think, yes, pepperoni, you know, it's a very strong correlation between John Banville and...
funny, I never would have put those two together, Banville and pizza.
Yeah. Absolutely. Take away, you know.
So you then went on to study economics and finance. Did you work in that industry?
I wanted to save the world. That was the plan. And I came home and I worked for Habitat for Humanity, the wonderful charity here. And then I kind of, actually it was after my mum's death that I thought, okay, I have this kind of really good strategic training. I'd love to bring it to the arts and it's been really lucky because I moved to London and I worked for the Bookseller magazine in London. I think an awful lot of people who work in books have English degrees.
Yeah.
So actually, if you're out there and you're interested in working in the arts, it can be really helpful to have a business degree because that's what the sector is kind of craving.
So you'd be looking at these people doing all their wonderful artistic stuff and say, for God's sake, look at the bottom line.
A little bit, actually, yeah.
This will never fly.
I'd like to say no, but that's exactly what I was doing. When I went on to work in the BBC and it was all about audience development and it was literally looking at what works, what doesn't, why, what are the best bits, and I still work in Inside and I absolutely love working with creative people, but being kind of in a strategic mindset.
Now, you have a day job and you have a family.
I sure do have a day job. Yeah, a few people text me when they heard I was coming to the show and they were like, good luck. And I was like, with the porridge that I'm cleaning or with, you know, I was in work all morning. So it's really nice. It works for me to
You work for the Arts Council.
I work for the Arts Council of Ireland, yeah.
And are you looking at the euros and cents in the Arts Council or is your brief a little broad?
It's quite broad at the moment, actually. I'm working on a climate action policy. And so a lot of scope there.
Yeah, it looks like you can do anything with your
really
economics and finance
morning,
degree.
I barely got the child out of the house this morning. It was one of those mornings. So
now, you mentioned your mother's death, and that really, I won't say it inspires your book, but it's the grief that people carry runs through the book.
Absolutely. I'd been circling the themes of grief and loneliness for a long time. And I think kind of what came to me was, how do we write what happens next? You know, you have a terrible tragedy, you lose, you know, people, or in this case, you know, both parents. And what happens then? You know, and how does the rest of your life unfold? And also, look, we're all trying to make lemonade out of lemons we're handed. And I think my question was, how can we find the positive in any difficult situation?
Now, this is a bit like a great Russian novel, in that the dramatis personae is laid out at the beginning of the book. And there's huge humor in your characters. I mean, there are two kids who are born at the turn of the century, in the year 2000, twins, obviously. One is Blur and the other's Oasis. In other words, Damon and Liam.
Yeah, I mean, some people really wanted me to explain that kind of earlier on, but I really just went with it, and then people really got a kick out of it later. I know someone told me they thought they were dogs for a long time. Yeah. But yeah, you definitely need the family tree at the beginning. I think, you know, there's great freedom in not knowing what you're doing. And definitely now, I think I would have been much more contained and been worried that people wouldn't be able to follow it. But for me, that was the heart of the novel, was this chaos, this kind of throwing into these big family scenes. You don't always, when I eventually got around to reading The Russians, I loved Tolstoy and Dostoevsky, and I'd be halfway through Anna Karenina and I still wouldn't quite understand, because they all have the Vasily, they all seem to have the same
name.
You
have to keep on referring back somehow.
Yeah. Speaking of my mom, she always had an amazing take on things. I remember her saying to me, "Oh, what do you drink on a Saturday night?" And I said, "Like vodka." And she was like, "Well, you always loved The Russians, you did love Tolstoy."
And I was like, "Well, wasn't Stolly."
I'm having Smirnoff with a Coke, like, I'm really not. I'm not sitting discussing Brothers Karamov.
It brings me back to some things I've read about your childhood, that it was kind of chaotic in a wonderful way.
Yeah, I always say I think I got the luckiest of the situations, because my mum's mum, Mary Lavin, was a widow, and she had this very exciting childhood where Patrick Kavanagh would be asleep on the couch, and it really was people, you know, coming and going. But I always say I got that, but I got it with a dad.
Yeah.
So in my case, I had this amazing mix of a very creative, imaginative mom, and my dad too, would have to be said, is very imaginative. But they also had a really, really stable home. So we had pasta bolognese every evening on the table, all that good stuff.
Now, I want to talk to you about publication and how you go about that. But how much do you want to tell us about the novel itself, this huge family, and Molly, and it's no spoiler to say she goes missing.
She definitely goes missing. In fact, I had the title I had was Molly Black Has Disappeared.
Okay.
And I was just walking around London thinking, that is the story I want to tell. It's really, so our main character, Molly, has disappeared. But the thing is, it's not her first rodeo. She's kind of done all the things that people do in their 20s. She's worked in New York waitressing. She's skied at night in France and
changed sheets. Changing the sheets during the day.
Exactly. Yeah. So she's done all that. And I think she wakes up one day in her late 20s and kind of says, hang on a second, why am I the only one still doing this? And realises that everyone else is kind of settling down, and she decides to go on one last jaunt. But before she goes, she happens to see something on the street outside a party in Islington, and she's the last person to see a missing Irish nurse. And when she goes missing, suddenly, not only this time do people want to find her, but she's actually a crucial witness in a missing person's case.
She takes herself pretty far afield, shall we say. I don't want to give too much away about the narrative. And then it's like a posse of people chasing her down.
Yeah, and that's definitely something I wanted to get in the novel, is that you can't always tell who's going to be there for you. And and especially now I have a child myself, I'm always really keen to make sure she has that extended group of, you know, she's incredible aunts and uncles, and because, you know, you just never know how the cookie crumbles.
And you refer, I suppose, to your own bereavement, and the people who you didn't know had your best interests at heart were coming out of the woodwork to be there for you.
Definitely. And it really can come from anywhere. You know, it can be a neighbour or someone. You know, I have particular people who I've worked with, for instance, have just gone over and above. And it's an amazing feeling. And I did think, how can we make this a novel about grief that's actually really, really hopeful and inspiring?
Now, looking at the descriptions which you give of the characters at the beginning of the book, Blur, the student, reluctant student, Oasis Liam, in other words, an enthusiastic student, Lady V is a gym tycoon, and then you have yoga instructors. You've got like a very modern list of characters and all the things they do.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that inspired me when I was writing was a lot of, I guess when I was growing up, there was a very clear version of Ireland that would feature in literature, and it was a lot to do with religion, and it was a lot to, I mean, I remember on my communion day, I came into my parents in my communion dress and I said, are we Catholic or Protestant? And my dad said he wouldn't tell me because he was so pleased that I didn't know. And then my mum said, that's incredibly cruel. You're Catholic, go make your communion. But, you know, it just was not my experience. And so I really wanted to tell that kind of more modern take.
Now, finally, I should ask you about publication. Given your heritage, people presume you walked into a publisher and say, here is my magnum opus, print it.
Yeah, so I took my lovely husband, Sheehy, I changed my email address and I took his name, sending it out anonymously. And it was all the things you read about. It was awful. Absolutely nobody wanted to publish my first novel. But I was very lucky in that an agent, Sheila Crowley, said, look, this isn't it. I'd written a first novel that really wasn't quite right. But she said, look, give it a go again and give me a call, which is what I did.
Yeah. Is it true that you write on your telephone?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing's on my phone, notes.
That's hard to believe. Do you dictate then into your
phone? No, I just scramble at notes. And my husband says to me, because it's pitch black at 11 o'clock, and he says, should I be worried? And I have to pretend that I'm doing, you know, not doing work. And I say things like, no, I'm putting on a meditation, Brian.
I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I find it hard enough to text a short message, never mind write an entire book. Is there another one on the way then?
Oh, well, I have a lot on my plate at the moment. So there's definitely some really exciting ideas generating. Just hope I don't lose my phone.
I hope not. All right. There's been a little incident, it is called. It's an Apollo book published by Head and Zeus. And its author is Alice Ryan. Thank you, Alice, very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.